Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. And today, this is the Military Report with Major Mike Gary, who is a military Seaburn officer, weapons officer. And Seaburn stands for Chemical, Biological, Radiological, and Nuclear Weapons. He is a first responder for any weapon of mass destruction event. He has 26 years in the military, with much of it in the National Guard. And that is direct experience related to the topic of our show today, which is the weaponization of the U.S. government against the American people as carried out in the setup of the January 6, 2021 horrific situation in Washington, D.C. At the time when the election results were going to be considered by Congress and data reviewed to determine the legitimacy of the 2020 election. And this is a staggering unfolding of the way in which the military, the National Guard, the Department of Justice, the CIA, the FBI worked together to undermine the peaceful gathering of patriots in Washington on January the 6th, and the congressional responsibility to certify the election and hear the evidence from the electors. Fast forward to April 2024, four National Guardsmen from the D.C., Washington, D.C. National Guard testified in defense of their former commander, Major General William Walker. On March 3rd, 2021, Major General William Walker revealed before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs that the Secretary of the Army delayed 3 hours in giving the D.C. National Guard the go-ahead to respond to the Capitol events on January 6, 2021. By telling the truth in that hearing, Major General Walker inadvertently pointed out that the Secretary of the Army and the Pentagon engaged in dereliction of duty on January 6. In a December 2021 Inspector General report, the Pentagon officials had placed blame on Major General Walker and the D.C. National Guard for the response delay, which turned out to be a falsehood. The Inspector General's report is full of lies and deception and is a cover-up of what really happened that day. And this is the story of what went on, what should have gone on, and how the National Guard should have been working that day and what they are trained to do from the perspective of a U.S. military officer who has spent 26 years, much of it in the National Guard, serving America. And he has been deployed as a National Guardsman in combat in Iraq, as well as, I believe, Afghanistan. So Major Gary, as a first responder with National Guard extensive experience and has been a unit commander, is going to give us his perspective on what has just been revealed in the DC National Guard testimony before Congress. Major Gary, thank you for your service to our country and your service to Truth for Health Foundation as chair of our medicine and ministry program and our vaccine injury support program. Our listeners have heard from you in many aspects of your broad experience, but today we're really going to be focusing on your National Guard experience, what took place and what should have taken place, and what the National Guard is trained to do in such situations. So thank you for putting all of this together for us.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Vliet. Yeah, and I've only deployed to Iraq. And when I came back from Iraq, I was highly concerned that all the IEDs, improvised explosive devices, and other such booby traps that my platoon was running into over there in Iraq was going to come home to America one day. So when I came back home to America, my focus was no longer on foreign lands. It was on the homeland. And that's how I've kind of lived the rest of my military career from 2008 forward. And in 2009, I found myself on this unit, being a part of this unit, which is the Weapons of Mass Destruction Civil Support Team, or I'll just call it the Civil Support Team. And what that team does is provide weapons of mass destruction expertise as it relates to hazardous materials or weapons. And so every state, some states have two, but every state has one of these units. And I guarantee the District of Columbia's civil support team was there somewhere in Washington, D.C., on standby, as we call it. So the unit that I was a part of does these massive events, which we call them National Special Security Events, NSSEs, National Special Security Events. And a Super Bowl could be one of them. They're usually events that draw large crowds of people because that could be a perfect target for a foreign entity. Or now, unfortunately, we have to look inward domestically at our own government as targeting our own people. And before I go any further, I just want to say that I am not representing the military or the Department of Defense in anything I say. This is all based on my own research, on my own time. And I am a free man and I have a First Amendment right, especially since the military fired me. So I get my free speech now. And so you're going to get my free analysis as it relates to what I used to do.
Well, I comment that the reason the military fired you was as a result of the unlawful COVID vaccine mandate and their failure to honor the law to give you your constitutional right to refuse an experimental use authorized product.
Exactly. And I would have never run into this situation if the January 6th situation didn't take place. So these things go hand in hand. Now, in just so the audience...
Why is that? I mean, explain the connection there.
Explain, yeah, absolutely. So
listeners who don't know that connection, you and I know what it is, but I think it's important to explain how January 6th and those events are directly connected to the damage to the U.S. military with the COVID vaccine mandates that were unlawful, absolutely unlawful.
Yeah, so one of them, that at the beginning, you had mentioned Major General William Walker, and he testified 3 March of 2021 before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security. And there was also two other representatives testifying alongside of him from the intelligence community. And it was funny that March of 2021, so this is just a couple months after January 6th, these intelligence people were starting to build this narrative, the storyline that white supremacists were an issue. And it would be very shortly after that, there was a mandatory brief given to the military people as a whole based on white supremacy. Because I remember going in, doing the mandatory training and saying, oh, phew, this isn't referencing me in any way. I couldn't find any connection to trying to make a white supremacist a patriot, because I was very concerned about that after the January 6th timeframe. That later on morphed into anybody that denied or didn't take the vaccine became a domestic extremist, insider threat, white supremacist, is how we eventually, a lot of us, got labeled. And a lot of these conversations happened behind doors where they accused us for being a domestic extremist, or like I said, the other words. And this came out of the Jan 6th period where they were trying to blame or call the patriots white supremacists. So that's the narrative the intelligence community was trying to work with. And they also brought out a list of symbology, the Betsy Ross flag being one that would signify that you're a domestic extremist or a possible white supremacist. So this is how far off the rails they went.
The Gadsden Purchase flag, Don't Tread on Me, was also one that was the 3% image and meme that went around. There's another connection with January 6th, and that is that the Capitol riot that we now learn was set up by our own FBI and CIA and the nefarious deep state operatives, that disrupted the congressional review of the election information to investigate the possibility of election fraud and the possibility of a stolen election. And the election, as it was carried out, was allowed to stand, which then put Biden in office. And it was under Biden that the vaccine mandates that were issued in August of 2021, and they were unlawful to mandate a experimental use authorized product. There was never any FDA approved product. So not only is there the connection with trying to create the narrative that people who were legitimately questioning the election, who were patriots, who supported making America great, all of that, that they were somehow domestic terrorists, and then allowing the election to stand. And as we've seen, stolen elections have consequences, one of which is the decimation of our military.
Absolutely. And as we see now, the military is on its last legs and getting worse every day. And it's just a very sad story. But not too long ago, a month and a half ago, I did a story on Jan 6th, giving an update. It was called National Travesty, Intentional Deception and Tactical Errors on J6. I highly recommend listeners go back to that story. In it, I produced a timeline of the sequence of events as I knew them at that time of what transpired on January 6th. It is something that can be used to build off from to learn and discover all these new things that are coming out, more and more whistleblowers coming out about January 6th. So I highly recommend that. For the listeners, in 2017, I ran the Seaburn Enhanced Response Force package from New England, and we were on a standby mission in Maryland, Aberdeen, Maryland, for the Trump inauguration of 2017. So that in its time was a national special security event that we were on standby several miles away waiting in case something happened. Now, at the time, there was a lot of military folks looking at this new president coming in, Trump, and knew that there was a lot of people that were against him, and the possibility that there could be rioters or groups that show up was a really real thing in 2017 at that inauguration. And I just want to explain to the American people that the military at the time went through its steps, like the military should and would, by the numbers, and had everything in place ready to go if they had to supply what we call DSCA, Defense Support to Civil Authorities, DSCA, okay, Defense Support to Civil Authorities. That's what the National Guard does. So we had everything in place to respond to the inauguration of 2017. Now, I would like to remind the audience, summer of 2020, before the election, was the summer of love. This is the summer that cities were being burned down because of the George Floyd event, which was used as an excuse by nefarious groups to burn down cities and break things and steal and commit a bunch of crimes.
If
Now,
I may use a proper phrase, that was the summer of total anarchy. It's the opposite, as the Democrats always do, it's the opposite of what really took place. It was not the summer of love, it was the summer of destruction and anarchy. But go ahead. Sorry to
thank you.
interrupt.
Perfect. You did exactly what you gave the explanation I was looking for, Dr. Lee.
I am a stickler on proper language. And every single time Democrat-controlled Congress passes legislation, the legislation is called the opposite of what it does.
So I'm reminding the audience, okay, this is June 1 of 2020. President Trump walks an entourage of his cabinet over to the St. John's Church, which has been burned in Washington, D.C. Okay. And General Milley happens to be a part of that entourage that walks across because President Trump was not going to stand for anarchy, like you said earlier. Well, how this connects is, remember, there's responding forces to such an event. And that wasn't the only event in Washington, D.C. that summer. Okay. So the D.C. Guard had responded to that event. I'm not sure exactly in number and composition and stuff like that, but they did because I've heard it in testimony. And they did likewise several times that summer. Now, it's funny. I just want to share this because you discover these things after the fact. General Milley had said at the time he went on an apology tour, and he's a key player in this. So I'm going to read his statement at the time that Trump walked across with him. He says, "I should not have been there," said General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in a pre-recorded video commencement address to the National Defense University. "My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics." Keep that in mind, the military involved in domestic politics, okay? "As a commissioned uniform officer, it was a mistake that I have learned from," Milley said in the video address. Okay, so he doesn't want to participate in domestic politics, okay? So there's a perception there, there's an optic there, okay, that he's concerned about. That's why he went on the apology tour. Okay, but DC Guard has responded to these events. So there's a thing the audience should be aware of. So as a guardsman, when I came in 1998, the active component had this view of the National Guard, which I would include the Army Reserve amongst these numbers. They used to call us the Nasty Guard. Okay, that's a perception thing that came out of the Vietnam era when people went into the National Guard to escape the draft. Okay, and they didn't do their active duty service. They went to escape the war. Okay, I'm not going to go into, you know, whether that's right or wrong, but anyway, that's where the perception came from, the nasty guard. However, over the last 20 years, that perception is long gone because the National Guard has more than carried its share, fair share of the work in deploying regularly as a operational force, hand in hand with the active component, and then at the same time trying to maintain civilian jobs, skills, and competencies, and also being the domestic backup force to any law enforcement or other type of entities that respond locally. So the National Guard has more than earned itself the respect that it should get from the active component. Now, January 6 was nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, the DC National Guard was more than ready to respond to anything that would happen that day. That Major General William Walker, when you watch his testimony, which there will be a link to this story in this show, and I highly recommend people go listen to this man. He's a very measured man, a very calm demeanor, and he was a very active commander. So Major General Walker was the TAG, which stands for the Adjutant General of the District of Columbia, who reports to the president. Now, the president can only manage so many things. So he delegates down his authority. And for that day, or if it was to the Secretary of the Army. Okay. So usually, Major General Walker can deploy his DC Guardsmen at will because the Secretary of Army has also delegated down that he can act when he's called upon by the local law enforcement or other entities. He can deploy as needed under his own order. However, on January 5th of 2021, the Secretary of the Army sent down a memo to Major General Walker stating that he could not deploy without the Secretary's permission. He couldn't move a force other than the way it was already planned. And so that was highly unusual because the DC Guard, like the example I gave you at General Milley, had been deploying in support of civil authorities all summer long and never had to wait for for approval from the Secretary. So this was highly unusual. So this is a point of failure that obviously got exercised during the day of January 6. So I, with this first half of this show, I just wanted to show to the American people that the DC Guard was ready to go. There was something put in place, this Secretary of the Army's memo, which was highly unusual, stating that he had to give permission to move any DC Guardsmen. And that couldn't happen without his approval on that day, unlike every event that already happened that summer. So, looking at this, it looks like this was a setup operation because this was an unusual thing put in place that had never had been functioned before. And the guard, when we get ready to do a standby mission, like I would call this a standby mission. We have gone through all the numbers or the backup plans, and we've put all these procedures in place, fallback plans or contingency operations plans. So when something fails, we already have a plan that we just everybody already knows it. We dust it off and everybody moves to course of action number two. Okay. And so these things were all in place. And when you listen to Major General Walker's testimony, he states this quite clearly. And in fact, you can see how genius the man is and how he positioned his troops. And with what little latitude he was given, he took every step that he could on that day to further move the ball forward in responding to the capital. For example, one thing, he sent a liaison officer over to the Capitol Police upon the first call from Chief Stevenson, Capitol Police Chief Stevenson. He moved a liaison officer over there immediately, to once he got the permission to send his troops, catch them on the other side and direct them immediately into their proper positions. So again, he didn't have to have permission to move one man, but he had to have permission to move actual troops on the battle space, if we're talking about military battle space, that day.
Well, that's very helpful, and that does raise the question that goes to the fact that General Milley has been shown in other ways to have undermined the Trump administration. And there have been many discussions by other experts on that point. So if General Milley was the one who ordered the commander of the National Guard, Major General Walker, to have to wait for permission from the General Milley before moving any troops, that clearly was out of the ordinary and a directive that would slow the response time in the event of an urgent situation. So I just want our listeners to understand how unusual that was, that Major General Walker was directed to wait for permission from the Secretary of the Army before deploying his troops in a situation that changes rapidly. That's really just unheard of. And even civilians can think about that. No one would want emergency responders delayed by bureaucratic controls and delay their response. So that goes to your point about the setup. Is there more that you'd like to address before we take a break, or would you? Let's take a break then and come back and discuss further aspects of the January 6 events that illustrate the weaponization of our own federal agencies against the American people and against those who were there to peacefully express their constitutional rights, both to support the election review as well as to express their support for a particular political party. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report, military segment. And we'll be right back after the break. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org and check out our store, truthforhealthstore.com, where we have the necessary health and resilience nutraceutical products that will help you be in control of your health when our government turns against us and unleashes another pandemic on us. Get prepared. And our store is a great place to do just that. I've written lots of health tips for our products that'll give you the information you need to make decisions to improve your health and your resilience. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Check out the new Truth for Health store at truthforhealthstore.com. We have exclusive professional formulas with exciting new products, including True Mitochondrial Boost that can help improve your energy, memory, focus, and concentration. All of our products are manufactured in certified compliant facility using good manufacturing practices approved and inspected by the FDA. Check us out, www.truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report military segment. This is Dr. Lee for America with my guest and co-host, Major Mike Gary, U.S. Military Seaburn Officer and member of the U.S. Military Services for 26 years. He brings a wealth of experience, a lot of it in the National Guard, so he knows what should have taken place on January 6th in the National Guard response and what did not, and the horrific consequences of that failure. And the failure came from the Secretary of the Army, General Milley, delaying for more than 3 hours, giving permission for the National Guard Commander, Major General William Walker, to respond properly to the events and help control the events that had gotten out of hand. Thank you, Major Gary. Go ahead with the other major points you wanted to address today.
Yeah, so the Secretary of Army is this Ryan McCarthy at the time, and he's a younger man. He's probably looked like he's in his 40s to 50 year old. It's highly thought amongst officers that he was being molded by the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, which is General Milley. So it sounds like Milley had pull on the Secretary of Army, Ryan McCarthy. So there's a lot of rumor mill stuff going on at that time amongst these upper echelon officers. And this is a problem because the active component, the Pentagon for this instance, had no place in defense support to civil authorities. They really should have been excluded out of this thing totally because it's not their wheelhouse. They don't know how to defend the homeland and work with civil authorities like the Capitol Police or the Metropolitan Police Department or with the fire departments for that matter, like I used to. Okay, so they're out of the league. And one of the terms that came out of Major General Walker's testimony was he was on a phone call conference where Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun was in dire need of help. And he's pleading with the Pentagon to release Walker to support him. He's pleading. This is at 2:30. So if you were to use my timeline, you could go there and see this. At 2:30, he's pleading with the Pentagon to release him. And this Lieutenant General Pyatt and Lieutenant General Charles Flynn, younger brother of Michael Flynn, okay, don't confuse the two. It's the younger brother, Charles Flynn. Both of them stay on the phone call while we can't have guardsmen on the Capitol Hill. This is bad optics for the military. So this is the staff that would be under the Secretary of Army, McCarthy, And McCarthy seems to be nowhere on this phone call because his voice never is heard, and he seems to be unapproachable by Major General William Walker, who's desperately trying to get permission to release his troops to help the Capitol riot that's going on at that time. This phone conference lasts so long, if you to look at my timeline. At 2:44 p.m. is when Ashley shots are fired, which is Ashley Babbitt being shot. And at that time, Stephen's son, Capitol Police son, says, "Shot fired. Is that enough urgency for you now to release them?" So there's a lot of passion going on between these different forces. Also, the intelligence of that day is in quite a bit of dispute because Capitol Police Chief Stephen's son was never given a word that there was going to be possible rioters. However, the FBI and other intelligence agencies are well aware that there could be rioters. And when I say this, be thinking of Antifa types, groups like that, groups like BLM, and things like that, which I think a lot of military people were already well aware of, especially the DC Guard, who had been responding all summer to Antifa and BLM burning their city down. The good thing about the DC Guard is a lot of the guardsmen come from other states. So they're not from within the city, they're actually outsiders that make this up. So it's kind of funny the dynamics going on here between the guard and the active component, or big army, as us guardsmen say. This dynamic that already exists is getting exploited and it's becoming more and more sour over the course of the summer and then culminating in this January 6th event. So much so that the IG had to run cover for Lieutenant General Piatt and Lieutenant General Charles Flynn, who would owe their next positions to Chairman General Milley. Okay, so if they're going to get promoted up to 4-star generals, they need to make their boss happy, which is Chairman Milley. Okay, so this is how the dynamics are working. The active component or Pentagon had no part in this domestic response. All William Walker, General William Walker, wanted to do was his job that day. With the guardsmen that he had on standby, they all wanted to respond to where help was needed, which was at the Capitol. Now, another dynamic that the American people probably aren't tracking is Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun and Major General William Walker were actually friends. I'm not sure how close of friends, but the Sunday before January 6th, they actually had a phone conversation outside of work, and Stephen's son had relayed to Major General William Walker that he had already requested the National Guard and he was turned down by the sergeant at arms. So, the sergeant of arms who would work for Nancy Pelosi. Okay. And there's two of them. There's one for the Senate chamber and there's one for the House chamber. And they wield a lot of power there in the Capitol building, which is a kind of a little unknown fact. Now, he was turned down by the sergeant of arms. He couldn't request the National Guard. So this is several days before January 6th. But Stephen's son, hey, said to William Walker, where the friends, he's like, "But I'm going to request you. Will you come if I request you?" And Major General William Walker said, "Well, yes, I will. I just have to get approval from," at that time, it was the Secretary of Defense, because there was already a memo out stating that the Secretary of Defense had to release him, which would be further covered by a memo on the 5th, like I said earlier, stating the Secretary of the Army would not allow him to do anything beyond what was already planned, which was traffic control points and a quick reaction force, a QRF, stationed at Andrews Air Force Base. Okay, so that conversation went on about 5 days before January 6th. I can't remember where that lands in the week, but anyway, there was that Sunday prior to. This is a conversation that went on between Chief Sund and General Walker. They were already talking about it because, again, both these guys have done numerous responses. They are seasoned veterans in their own professions, and they seem to have worked together quite a bit. So they were already doing what good leaders naturally do, which is go above and beyond and make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed. And so they already determine some of the weak links in the process, which was at that time the sergeant of arms. And then, of course, it would be the day of January 6th, the Secretary of the Army, who would go missing for several hours and not position himself in a way that he would not be able to make a decision, which would have greatly changed the events of that day. If the National Guard was able to respond to the Capitol Police request at 1:49 p.m., the day may have been totally different. For example, it may have been found out that there was federal informants, there was staged and paid for rioters, and the Patriots could have been separated from those entities. Because one thing you have to look for in my previous time schedule is at a certain time early on, around the 1 o'clock time frame, I can't remember exactly, the fencing or the what would establish a perimeter around the Capitol, a standoff distance from the actual Capitol steps, like you saw everybody on, was ripped down by some early people, which I beg to offer. These were the rioters, or these were the federal informants that ripped down the barriers that would have kept the standoff distance. You can go to the video I posted on the last story and make you up your own mind, but I think you're going to see it the way I do. So there was no fence or border for anybody to know not to go up to the Capitol. So it would have looked right to walk right up to the Capitol because there's no barrier. Okay, and this is where I say this was a shaping operation to bring everybody right up to the doorstep of the Capitol. Okay, and then a further on shaping operation is if you stage some bad police within the Capitol Police that start shooting less than lethal rounds ahead of the order, okay, without being ordered to, they start pummeling less than lethal rounds into the crowd. Naturally, people are going to get mad and irritated. And also, on a video that I gave in the last story, is you can see some Capitol Police or Metropolitan Police being actively chastised for shooting less than lethal at people and for throwing CS gas and smoke grenades at people. So you can actually watch them being chewed out by what I would assume is a superior and being told not to do that. Okay, so if you start adding up all these little things, these little plants, as I like to think of them, it's a big shaping operation. And the biggest part of the shaping operation is not letting the National Guard respond when Capitol Police Chief Sun asked for them, because that would have immediately reestablished a perimeter and standoff distance off the Capitol steps, which was necessary for figuring out who was breaking windows and trying to get into the Capitol building.
That is really critically important information. And this concept of a military shaping operation, by that you mean military tactics, and military service members are trained to do as much as possible to shape and alter the battlefield to the advantage of the particular agenda being carried out, correct?
Absolutely. Yep. When we do our military training, one thing is the initial preparation of the battlefield, which I look at is anything that you can do to shape it in your favor, you do it. And it doesn't just have to be military, because the intelligence community steals a lot of these ideas from the military, because the military is the best at when it comes to staffing or planning. As the American people may think of it, planning or preparing for an operation, both sides would use these types of steps in order to shape an operation in their favor. So if you look at tearing down the fences as being one of the first vital things that you need to do to make it look like a riot the day of January 6th, well, you're going to have somebody run up and tear down the fences, which is exactly what we see in that video I provided in the last show. You see a couple people run right up in a very practiced, and here's the key, rehearsed and practiced manner. They know exactly where to grab the fence, and they know exactly how to roll it one way or pull it the most effective, quickest way so it's disappeared. Okay. So when you start seeing these things, so this is where some people don't like watching movies with military guys because we can rip them apart really quick and say that's not real, that's not real, that's not right. Well, that's the attention to detail you have to have when you look at some of these videos and cameras, pictures and videos from all the people that were there on January 6th. You start seeing the detailed information, which means so much. Okay. And that's why I can say with confidence it was a shaping operation, because you can see how certain things were paid very special detail to, which again, the fence was one of them. And then, of course, the Secretary of the Army disappearing at the crucial 3 hours of the day, from like 1 p.m. to like 4:30 p.m. in that time frame, he disappeared. And he's given himself the ability to make this key decision on moving the DC Guard, and he disappears. Well, that's not a good leader. That's not what good leaders do. Good leaders are there when decisions need to be made. If you're not going to be there, then you pass it down to the guy below you so he can make it when he's in the thick of things. Okay. So that's why I offer up this was intentional. It was a step that never existed before. But certainly, if he's going to take the authority away from Major General Walker, then he needs to be there to make the call when the call needs to be made or the order given. So anyway, these things are all adding up to a shaping operation for an insurrection, as the Democrat House Committee came to, the understanding that it was, which now, with a different, the House being owned by the Republicans, and just a little bit of information getting out, we're seeing a totally different picture. And I want to say something about Major General Walker, the tag of the DC Guard. He was highly respected. He was so respected that four whistleblowers came out of the DC National Guard in support of their commander at the time. And there's an article in the Gateway Pundit. It's entitled "Sedition? Question mark. DC National Guard whistleblowers reveal Pentagon under direction of Mark Milley refused to deploy guard until after 5 p.m. And Liz Cheney's committee never called them to testify. Okay, that's the title. And then I'll quickly read through this small article. On Wednesday morning, the House Subcommittee on Oversight, which is referencing 17 April of 2024, held a hearing with the National Guard whistleblowers who stepped forward to correct the media lies and dishonest narrative on the January 6th protests and riots. Four members of the National Guard testified on Wednesday that they were ready to be deployed January 6th, but the Pentagon held them back. This directly brings General Milley's actions into question. Kash Patel tipped us off last month that there were more reports like this coming. National Guard whistleblowers, Command Sergeant Major Michael E. Brooks, retired, Colonel Earl G. Matthews, Brigadier General Aaron Dean,
Oh.
retired, and Captain Timothy Nick, who was the aide-de-camp, he was the secretary of General Walker, stepped forward today to correct the record on January 6th. As the Gateway Pundit previously reported, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser were both warned about the security situation prior to January 6th, and both of them turned down National Guard troops at the U.S. Capitol that day. Pelosi and Mayor Muriel Bowser turned down thousands of National Guard troops at the Capitol on January 6th for political reasons. Chris Wray's FBI also refused to notify the Trump administration and his cabinet secretaries that they believe there could be violence like the mass protests at the Capitol that took place that day. And I offer up that they were planning the federal informants, the hired rabble-rousers, and that's why there was a fraction in the government or the Trump administration did not know anything, because they were actually planning it against them and hiring these Antifa types out. So if you go to the testimony given in that article, which will be attached to this, you're going to see four extremely dedicated men to their commander. And it seems legit and real that they respected Major General William Walker. I should give you a little more information about him. He comes from the Florida National Guard. The Florida National Guard is seen as the subject matter experts when it comes to homeland response, because Florida is constantly responding to hurricanes. So anytime a state or the District of Columbia wants to get their people up to par as it relates to domestic responses, they send their people down to Florida, where Florida gives them a good training on how to run emergency operation centers and how to actually function the incident command system as it relates to the National Guard supporting domestic civil authorities. Okay. So that's where Major General William Walker comes from. He comes from the state that functions it all the time. So this man knows what he's doing, he knows how things are supposed to run. And I've even heard from his own men, Brigadier General, I think it was Dean, and then Colonel Matthews, they were stating that General Walker that day was gonna, break ranks and send his DC guardsmen. He was contemplating this. He was gonna send them, and then he was just gonna take his lickings at the end, because he knew Chief Sun needed support so bad, and he figured he would get punished or re relieved of command for doing so. Colonel Matthews and Brigadier General talked him out of it that day. They said, wait for the response, wait for the response. But these kind of conversations were going on, because the DC Guard knows that the Capitol Police are getting their butts handed to them over there, and all they want to do is help. Now, Colonel Matthews, during his testimony, reveals one of the interesting rumors that was coming out of the Mark Milley camp. Again, this would be the senior officers. They were very concerned of the DC black boys performing a coup or usurping the Pentagon in support of President Trump. So this is one thing that Colonel Matthews reveals in front of this committee, because these were real conversations and real conspiracy theories being thrown around. And all sides know it now. Now that these whistleblowers have come out, they have given a real picture of what the Pentagon was thinking and how they most likely acted on that day, which I think is, this is my opinion. They acted in direct defiance of President Trump, and they made things so much worse on purpose. I do believe there's intentionality there at some level. Also, you have to have a lot of incompetent people or people that are selfish to follow along with such a thing. So anyway.
Well, and they not only did they undermine President Trump and weaponize against the American people, they were the direct cause of the loss of life that day. So blood of the innocent people is on their hands.
Absolutely. It totally is. Now, when you review some of these hearings, there was a lot of discussion about the quick reaction force. I just want to again want to highlight how smart Major General Walker was. This quick reaction force was meant to, its purpose, its intended purpose, regardless of what the Pentagon thinks, its purpose was to deploy quickly against a domestic riot. Okay. And they're a platoon size element, about 40, 45 people. And these people were made up of civilian law enforcement mostly. And they were the unit they were part of was a part of the Air National Guard's Special Security Force. So these people were well trained to handle any type of riot situation, highly competent. Now, the IG's report makes it sound like they weren't prepared and trained to do such a thing. That's why I point this out. That is a total mischaracterization of what's going on here. And this is why the Pentagon needs to get out of domestic issues, because they have no idea how the guard is set up and enhanced by these civilian professions. For example, the quick reaction force made up of mostly police officers. Now, Major General Walker, even when he didn't have permission to move them, he continued to get them closer. So he moved them from Andrews Air Force Base to the Armory, which was considerably closer to the Capitol building that day. So he made every step and every preparation he could to enhance his response once he was given the go-ahead to do so. So I just want to totally, as an outsider looking in on him, I can tell the man was genuine and a good commander and very competent.
It's just absolutely appalling and so very tragic that the competent, dedicated professionals in the National Guard were prevented from doing their job, and the competent, dedicated professionals in the Capitol Police were prevented from doing their job. All for the political agenda of pushing forward on taking control of America in the ways that we have seen unfold since the inauguration of the Biden administration, with the Obama administration team in the background, in the shadows, running the operations launched against America. It is truly a very chilling scenario of what has happened to our country under the weaponization of our government agencies against the American people, the American Constitution, and decimating the strength and purpose and code of honor and rule of law of our military and National Guard. Major Gary, again, thank you for all of your diligent research into all of this and the work that you are doing to expose the corruption and the crimes against America by our government. And we will continue to serve God and country and the Constitution in bringing the truth to the American people. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting this show together on the research and the material that will be in the resources for people to watch and study in more depth on their own now that you've given the resources and the critical points for people to consider. We're glad all of you joined us today. Share this with your friends and your social media network. This is our lives and our national security at stake and our freedom. America, it's time to stand up against the evil agenda and assault on our country and our lives. Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report.